Hello, everybody, and welcome to the August 23rd edition of the Noise Bleed podcast. My name is Brady. I will be your host today, and we're going to be talking about the August 22nd edition of Monday Night Raw, SummerSlam, NXT. We're going to have full podcasts on both of those later this week. We'll talk a little bit about the fallout of those because we have to. It's Monday Night Raw. It's following that up. Raw had
most of the
really
material
good
and
night.
Matches that were produced at SummerSlam were good, even though there were some shitty finishes. I really did enjoy the show, and Raw is looking good going forward, but Finn Balor suffered a shoulder injury, I believe that's what they said it was, because there was a buckle bomb up against a barricade, and that move has proven to be dangerous. At first, when Sting got injured off of a buckle bomb, I was thinking, hey, that's a freak accident, and I was full on the side of Seth Rollins there. Now, I think it's about time to start considering that that move is not the safest to be doing. Maybe every now and then breaking it out isn't all that bad, but it's clearly a move that has to be done with caution. It hurts Sting, though I don't blame Seth Rollins for that. I feel like it takes two people doing it right to really get everything together. But there's a lot of room for error with something like that, especially if you're not doing it into the turnbuckle. I feel like Finn Balor could have totally handled it if he did it into the turnbuckle. But doing it up against the barricade, that's a rough landing. A lot can go wrong there. And I hope Finn Balor is back soon, but it turns out he has to relinquish the Universal Championship, and that's such a shame, because that title had so much hype behind it. To lose their first champion one day after he wins, that's a huge problem. That's a huge problem for the Raw brand. If they can't hold a champion that's consistent, that's going to be a problem. And they have a big match coming up next week. We'll talk about the matches that led up to it, but we're going to be seeing a new Universal Champion next week, probably, unless there's shenanigans. Either Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, those are the two favorites in this, Roman Reigns, or Big Cass. Big Cass is the dark horse in this. This will really prove whether or not Mr. McMahon is all in on Big Cass the way that people say. A lot of people are saying they really like him, and he's better than most big guys that Mr. McMahon has liked. I mean, Big Cass is not the best on the mic, but he's solid. He's honestly better than a lot of the guys, probably most guys. He's just working with Enzo Amore, who shines above and beyond most guys, so it makes him look a little bit more nervous when he's delivering lines. Plus, he's working within Enzo's shtick, and I don't know if he could work outside of Enzo's shtick yet. They haven't given him the opportunity to do so. So we'll see whether or not Big Cass can really shine on his own at some point in the future, but I don't think this is it. I think this is just an opportunity to get Big Cass working with some top guys, really just give him a little bit of a rub before he moves back down and maybe starts working within the tag division a little bit more. I don't think they want to split up too many of their tag teams because the tag division, it is shallow. The people in it really do need people to work with, even though I don't see the club versus the New Day being over anytime soon. There's going to have to be something when eventually the New Day drop their belts to a heel team. Enzo and Cass have to get the titles at some point. They never got their belts in NXT, so it would be really cool if they could finally get a championship reign once they go up to Maine. At this point, it really seems like they're going to go with the status quo. They're going to go with Seth Rollins or Roman Reigns. Kevin Owens is in there, and he's the one that I really want to be champion. I think Kevin Owens should be in the main event scene. He's really good in the ring. He's one of the best guys on the mic, and he probably should have been in the main event scene a long time ago. Kevin Owens has been ready. Sami Zayn should be the guy who's in the mid-card trying to work his way up to Kevin Owens' level. Kevin Owens should have gone there really quick. And there's very few people who are ready to jump up to the main event scene on the main card as quickly as Kevin Owens was. But he was truly ready. Speaking of being ready, we can talk about Roman Reigns here. I'm still not sure about him. I really was hoping that he would win the United States Championship, not because I want Rusev to lose it, but because I think it's best for Roman to work within the mid-card a little bit more. They couldn't keep him in the mid-card just a little bit longer. Give him a title reign. Yeah, I'm going to be disappointed when Rusev loses the belt to him. Well, I was going to be. It doesn't seem like they're going to be doing that now. They might see this as an opportunity to push Roman back into the main event scene. I know they really want Roman there. They only put him in the mid-card because they were pretty much forced to. Roman with his wellness policy violation, and the fans constantly rejecting him. Even when he gets over for a minute, they flip back the next night. That's the issue with Roman Reigns. They never really let his character breathe. They never let us take him out of our throats and get a good deep breath of air. It's terrible, but that's the reality of the situation. His character was fucked from not day one, because people liked him when he was in the Shield, but he was fucked from day one as a singles competitor. That's the problem with him, and they weren't willing to let that go. But now, he's getting over slowly in the mid-card. People would really like to see him holding that mid-card belt, work with some people who he could probably learn from. People like Rusev are really good at what they do, and Roman is getting more comfortable working with people like him, but if they push him back into the main event scene, he's gonna have the same old Roman problems, and that's the issue. That's why I don't think they're going to do that, but I wouldn't put it past them because they really, really like Roman, and they've shown that sometimes they just don't care what you or I think. But I would put my money on Rollins, but something in me is really rooting for Big Cass, because that would be the most surprising thing in the world. I don't think he deserves the World Championship, Universal Championship. I don't think he deserves it in the slightest. He should hold tag belts, then singles belts, then top belt. That's the route that a Big Cass should go. But if they fast track him straight to the main event scene, it kind of devalues the main event scene. But at the same time, it would be pretty surprising. It would be pretty exciting to see what would happen. Would Enzo get cut loose? Would he play the manager role? I always thought Enzo would make a great manager. He's a pretty good wrestler. But then if he goes into the manager role and he can just dedicate that to talking, hyping up himself and Big Cass at the same time, maybe he can work in the cruiserweight division when that comes in. Enzo as cruiserweight champion, Cass as universal champion. That would be interesting. Who knows? Let's move on. Let's talk about some of the matches. We have Sami Zayn versus Seth Rollins. The match was concerning. I don't know the state of Sami Zayn at this point. Maybe the dirt sheets have figured it out. I looked up some stuff at the time I'm recording this. There's nothing out yet. Sami Zayn versus Seth Rollins was uncomfortable. Rollins, first off, teased the powerbomb spot that hurt Finn Balor, and I know they love doing that, but I hate it whenever they do that. It didn't end up happening, of course. I don't think they would do that immediately after. They may do it again somewhere down the line, but that would be terrible timing. And it seems Sammy, I believe he did, he springboarded over Seth Rollins' head, I believe, and then he landed funny. And if that was selling, it was amazing. It was very well done. And I know Sami Zayn can sell with the best of them, but I am legitimately convinced that he is hurt. He's probably not doing too well. We might hear some news that Sami Zayn's leg is bad and he's going to have to take a couple months off. Raw is going to be crippled at that rate. Like, they're losing so much talent. Talent faster than they can bring it in, which is really, really bad. Sami Zayn just wouldn't stop doing dangerous spots, though, which also makes me think that it could be super planned. But at the same time, I don't know if he would keep doing that if it was planned? Would he keep doing dangerous spots? I feel like he was just dedicated to what they planned and trying to just make everything work before the match was done. Sami Zayn is the type of guy who would work through an injury. We've seen that in the past. I'm so concerned for him, though, because he was doing so well. If he's injured now, that's going to take so much momentum away from him. I know he'll get that little bit of momentum when he first comes back, but he just had that huge win against Kevin Owens like a month ago, and they're trying to put him with Neville and all that crap. That's not how they should do it. That's not how any of that should work. I really hope the best for Sami Zayn because he's one of the best acts that they have right now, and I was really hoping that he would have been in this match, but he was with Seth Rollins, so of course Seth Rollins has to go over. He really should have been in that main event instead of Big Cass. If Big Cass wins, then I'm just gonna cry. I'm just gonna cry myself to sleep because I really think that should be Sami Zayn. He could be champion tomorrow, and I would believe it. I think it would be great. Next, we have Kevin Owens versus Neville. Jericho comes out for emotional support. Owens ends up winning with some sort of torture rack neck breaker that I've seen him do before, and I think he's trying to make this kind of like his second finisher or his signature move. He can finish matches with it. I'm not sure if he's always going to finish matches with it. Like, I don't know if he's going to finish the high-profile matches with this, if he's saving the pop-up powerbomb for that, which I think is cool. That's learning how to treasure your finishing maneuver, find other ways to finish matches, and save the finishing move for when it really, really matters. I think that's great. That's what Hideo Itami does. He's only done one GTS, I think, and it wasn't even in a match. That was this weekend at NXT TakeOver. He's done the GTS. I'm going to run through some of these matches quickly because some of them I don't really have too much to say about. Like Neville versus Kevin Owens, obviously it was a good match. We have the New Day. We have Big E versus Karl Anderson. Some shenanigans outside the ring and Big E ends up winning. I do think Anderson and Gallows are going to win the titles eventually, even though the Finn Balor thing may have thrown that off because I'm sure they had some major plans with Finn Balor and I'm not sure exactly how long he's going to be out, but if he's going to have surgery, could be half a year or more. Not really sure. I'm pretty sure they said how long they expected him to be out, but they don't really know until after the surgery is done. I think that's how it goes. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I wasn't paying that much of attention to the commentary. I tried to drown them out a little bit. The New Day had a pinata. That's a side note. They had a big bowl of bootios that they were passing out with a ladle. That's cool. They teased the Dudley Boys' retirement, which I really thought was going to go another way, but It seemed like they were actually walking away from WWE, which may mean that they're... It didn't say retirement. It said that they're walking away on their own terms, which means we could easily see them in TNA again at some point, which I wouldn't be surprised, and I think that would be best for them. TNA is actually really good to people like Bubba and D-Von, and these two have really gotten over in other companies since WWE can only rely on them as a nostalgia act. And TNA, though I don't like TNA that much, will treat them like more than that, which is good. We have Titus O'Neil, who cuts an awkward promo about the end of the Primetime Players, blames Darren Young for all of his failures, pretty much admitting that all of his time for the past year has been a failure, which most wrestlers don't do, but he does, and I think that's kind of a fun little dimension there. But it's also kind of cartoony because Darren Young wasn't even really there, so it kind of diminishes Titus O'Neil entirely as a character. Like, the ghost of Darren Young can cost you all your success, and you would have been Universal Champion, you would have been World Champion if it weren't for that, but I don't know, it just sounds kind of silly. Bob Backlund comes out, applies the cross-face chicken wing. I was hoping that he would choke Titus out, but that didn't end up happening. It's probably for the best. You don't need Bob Backlund going over on people who are half his age. He gets slammed by Titus. Darren Young comes out. He gets the Clash of the Titus, and I think that was fine. I don't really care that much about this feud. I'm glad that they're giving them something to do, but a lot of momentum was taken out of Darren Young for this feud. I really don't think it was necessary to bring up the primetime players. Most people don't even remember that they were a tag team. And Titus even touched upon, like, most people don't even remember that the New Day took the titles off the primetime players. And that's actually completely true. A lot of people don't remember that. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about Rusev versus Big Cass. This is weird because they have Big Cass go up against Rusev, who has bruised ribs. And I find it weird that Cass needs an advantage of Rusev being injured in order to win this match believably. That's kind of a problem going into the Universal Championship match, because if he does win, he doesn't look all that great in the qualifier match, at least. He could look really good in the Fatal 4-Way match, but going into it, right now, he looks like the weakest. He looks like the underdog, and being 7 foot tall, 6'10", he should not be looking weak. He should be looking like one of the favorites in the match, and it's not like Cass was ever booked weak, but I don't think he needed to be booked against Rusev, who was injured. Give that to somebody who might maybe need it a little bit more, or just let Roman go over Rusev. Roman's the one who hurt him to begin with. Just let him finish the job. At least that would make sense. At least Roman did the work to hurt him. That would make sense. So Rusev, during the match, there's actually some really good storytelling. We have Rusev kicking Enzo. Cass is not as pissed as he usually seems, but still mad. Rusev don't want none. That's how it turned out. He gets counted out. Cass, he's just like, okay, I'll take it. Most people would be like, come back here, and they get all pissed off. But Cass actually seems smart, and he was like, okay, I'll take this title. You can walk away. I'll win the title. And you're not going to get it, man. Fuck you. And I like that attitude that Cass had. Even though Enzo got attacked, take the win. Don't let this guy cost you the win. If he's not going for the Universal title, that is punishment in itself for what he did. He's a bitch. You can fight him later. Take this opportunity because it's the biggest one you're ever going to get, I assume. Because I don't see Big Cass getting into the main event scene all that often. Even though WWE seems to like him, this is one of those rare opportunities he's going to have to actually be in a top title match. And I hope he does as much as he can with it. I bet he's shitting himself right now. We also have Chris Jericho versus Roman Reigns. That was cool. Owens comes out, but Reigns wins anyway because he's Reigns. And even if WWE is punishing him, he still goes over, and they need more than one face in the match, so I perfectly understand having Roman win in this situation. Sheamus cuts a promo at some point and shits on the local sports teams. I don't know, that's typical heel nonsense. Braun Strowman faces the most intimidating-looking jobber that he's faced yet, so I guess that's progression. I was hoping that he would face maybe members of the Golden Truth or something like that. People who are at the bottom of the card, but at least people who have names. And this guy had a name. It was something Knockout or something. I think his last name was Knockout, which is whatever. I don't know. I don't care. I'm trying to think of something else before I talk about the stuff that I really care about. I'm just trying to get all that stuff out of the way. Dudley Boys do their little retirement thing. The Shining Stars come out to be assholes and offer them a trip to Puerto Rico, which I hope those were real tickets, and I hope they took them because Puerto Rico is a lovely place. I don't know what kind of heel tactic that is. We're trying to give you a trip to a place that is universally considered beautiful. Yeah, that's, aren't we assholes? We make fun of your weight. We say that you're unattractive, but we're also giving you a trip to Puerto Rico. I would take that. I would take that crap in exchange for a ticket to Puerto Rico. You could at least sell the tickets if you don't want to go there. It's probably worth a good amount. They probably spent a lot of money just to shit on you. So take that for what it's worth. The weird thing is that the club comes out and deliver the magic killer through the table. And if that's the end of the Dudleys, that's kind of weird. I mean, I guess that's a cool way for them to go out because they're doing the honors for a team that is in reality a lot like them. So I think that's really cool. I think that's really cool of them. I know I haven't talked much about the Finn Balor situation yet. I will. I'm saving that for the end. Now let's talk about my favorite part of the night. Bayley comes out to face Dana Brooke. Oh my God, I'm excited. And Bayley made me so happy. Just seeing her, she's awkward. Her promo skills aren't that great, but just she's charming in that way. She's got a natural charisma to her where she seems like a genuinely nice person. And I guess her nervousness on the microphone kind of amplifies that. And I think that's really cool. Bayley ends up facing Dana Brooke in order to face Charlotte for the championship, which that's perfectly fine. Who else do you have at this point? You can't put you can't put Sasha in another match yet. You just need to wait for her injuries to be settled. She's nursing an injury right now. You can't put Paige in because I believe she's suspended. Recently, she was suspended along with Alberto Del Rio. So that's a thing. So you can't have Paige be the spot filler. And a lot of the really good women are on SmackDown. I didn't realize that during the time of the draft, but they really do have a decent division for the women over there. So Bayley is pretty much the best option they had. So they have Bayley come in. She hugs Mick Foley. Gets a huge pop, not just when her music hits, but when she hugs Mick Foley, because Mick Foley just seems so happy. Everybody just seemed happy in the arena. It seemed like everything was right with the world, and I enjoyed that. So, final thing before I talk about Finn Balor. Stephanie McMahon basically says that Brock crossed the line last night and there will be repercussions. So he's probably going to get suspended for a few months, but he wasn't going to wrestle in a few months anyway. So, whatever. It's a very inconsequential punishment if that's what they're doing. It'd be a joke. And I'm not going to talk too much about it. I'll talk about it when I do my SummerSlam and TakeOver podcast later in the week. That's a lot of detail I want to go into, and I don't really have time to go into it right now. But let's wrap this podcast up and talk a little bit about the situation with Finn Balor and, by extension, the entire club, the entire Bullet Club. Whatever they want to call themselves right now. We have AJ, Anderson, and Gallows having a little reunion at SummerSlam, and I assume whenever the brands cross over, we'll have these guys meeting each other and do little backstage segments, and that'll be cool. But they had Finn Balor there, and he gave them the little too sweet thing, and that's really cool. That was a really cool moment, because it's Finn Balor, who's full-on face, acknowledging these guys, maybe not being buddy-buddy with them, but giving them a friendly gesture, which seemed like it was going to be foreshadowing something going forward. But with Finn Balor being out for possibly up to 6 months, maybe more, if he's going to be having surgery, I really do think that's going to really put a big dent in their plans. They may even push off AJ Styles' big main event push until after Finn Balor comes back. I feel like they had the idea of maybe wanting both of them to be on top of the world. And this may even push off the club's big tag team championship win. They may end up waiting a little while. Maybe the New Day will beat Demolition's record at this rate. I feel like they want to have everything in place for when this happens, but chances are by the time AJ Styles gets back, one of the other club members will probably be injured, considering the WWE's really difficult schedule. But I really am not going to be as optimistic about the club going forward with Finn Balor being on the shelf, because I feel like they had so many plans there and they're going to want to hesitate on a lot of this stuff until they can really have all the pieces together where they belong. Not having Finn Balor would really put a big dent in a club takeover of WWE, having all the club members be on top of their division. It would be a shame if they didn't have everything together for when they decide to finally pull the trigger on that one. I'm kind of proud of that one. That was an accident. So those are all my thoughts on this episode of Raw. I wish I had more to say. Raw has not really seemed to find its flow. Something about Raw feels very old era, but when I watch SmackDown, it feels a lot like this new era that they're talking about. Everything seems to have a purpose. Everybody gets the time they need, and they don't seem like they're struggling for time. The 3-hour show seems like it's killing Raw. Having a 3-hour show versus a 2-hour show, even if you have a third less of a roster, SmackDown seems like they have so much more, and they could give us more material if they really needed to. If they needed to do a 2.5-hour show, they'd be fine. But 3 hours may be going over the limit. That's when it feels like it starts to drag a little bit. So, either way, I'll be giving you a SmackDown podcast as soon as I can get around to it, as soon as I've watched SmackDown and I get around to it. So, we'll see how that goes. SmackDown has won every week since the second or third week post-draft, and I'm predicting that they're probably going to get another win this week. I feel like they had some better plans for Raw, but with Finn Balor being injured, it really threw a curveball at them, and they're really going to have to work around that. And that's going to make it easier for SmackDown, who seems to really have their shit together when it comes to storytelling, getting all their pieces where they need to be when they need them. It's going to make it a lot easier for SmackDown to get there. Even though the SmackDown main event at SummerSlam wasn't the best, and it was actually one of the weaker... It was a great technical bout. It was one of the weaker storytelling matches of the night. SmackDown overall as a program, though, is just far more well put together. So, that's all I got to say. Thank you guys for listening. I'm going to have this up as soon as possible, and the SmackDown one up as soon as possible as well. And you can see the SummerSlam and NXT ones later this week. And you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, all those things. All of it's in the description box below. If you want to listen to this on another streaming service, that's cool as well. There's so many options down there, whatever your preference is. That's all I got to say. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And I'll see you next time. Signing off.